2 Kings chapter 4. You can just stay seated because I'm gonna do my best just to read through this again. And I say this, I know that many of you drive from a long way to be here. Wednesday night, God moved this house. Literally, God moved this house. And I don't say to beat anybody up that wasn't here. I'm just telling you that God moved this house Wednesday night. And so I'll talk a little bit about this in here for a minute, but this probably won't leave this house. It'll probably just sit right here. I don't know. You know, I know for now this will just be here. And God, I know a lot of people say and use the word shift, but I don't know anything else to say. God moved and shook the doorpost of the house Wednesday night in a great way. And so Word Wednesday is important. The prayer meeting in Sunday school on Sundays is important. And I don't say that to beat anybody up. I just relay that from my heart to you to just tell you that the Bible says to meet all the more as you see the day approaching, not less. And so I don't want anybody to miss anything, you know, honestly. I do believe one thing that I shared on Wednesday night is that when the prophet of God passed by the Shunammite woman's house, she took notice that who was passing by, she acknowledged the anointing that was upon his life. And so she beckoned him. The Bible said she constrained him. And if you literally look that word constrained up, she went to him and basically roped him in and said, "You're coming to my house. Amen. And you're going to eat my food and I'm going to build you a room." So she constrained him. She laid with him. She went to him and she grabbed a hold of him and she pulled him into her house. And she went to her husband. Not only does she recognize it, but then she's sharing that with her husband and she is saying to her husband, this man is anointed by God. Let us build him a room. And so Sister Tyla sang this song a minute ago, making room for God to move. And a lot of times, you know, two Wednesday nights ago, I ministered on 2 Kings chapter 4, the first 8 verses or the first 7. And we know here this story is talking about a widow woman that emptied her whole house out to pay debt, but it still wasn't enough. And she had nothing left save a pot of oil. Amen. Just a little bit. God will use what you have, who you have. God will use what you don't know that you have. Amen. And so save a little oil. So she made room for a move of God. And there are times you have to make room for a move of God. But then there are times that you have to make room for God to move too. You have to make a room for God to move. Sometimes you have to make room for a move of God, but sometimes you have to make a room for God to move. And I believe that God has chosen GFCC to be a revival church. And I don't say this arrogantly. I just say this, that monthly, that I believe this church, God has spoken through tongues, through interpretations, through men and women of God from around the world, that this church is a church that gives clear direction. Can I tell you that monthly, that pastors, about 5 or 6 pastors from Israel, count on this church and others sowing into Abiding Life so that they can make it every week? Amen. Do you know, make it every month? There are churches that wait. They count on. Not that they're sitting there begging for money. They don't know what they get every month, but they just know this church is a church that sows provision to Israel, to Africa, to Liberia, to Kenya, to Colombia. This church supports and gives out to the world. Amen. And I believe that we should be a worldwide church because that's what the Bible says. There's a great commission. Amen. The great commandment. Listen, it's not a suggestion. Amen. It's not, well, if you get ready to. No, I'm telling you that God will keep the doors open of this church or your church if you sow into the mission field because you're taking care of God's. Amen. So I believe that that is priority in our life. This church monthly, we send out 10 to 15% to missions around the world to help support, maybe sometimes more. We believe in giving. Amen. We believe not only giving to the world, we help people right in our back door too. Amen. And so I believe that if you know that about this church, and so I'm saying all these things to say this is a revival church. And so when God has chosen this house, then we have to maintain what God is doing. You have to maintain that. There's a part of us that has to do our part. Amen. I'm going to preach in just a minute. We have to do our part. You can't just come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and expect me to always be filled up with oil. Now, it is my responsibility. I don't get to just take off a day. I got to get to this pulpit no matter what I'm going through in my life. I still got to get here. I still got to get with God, and I got to make sure that I hear clearly, because you're counting on me to give clear direction as your pastor. And so no matter what I'm facing, I don't get the right to lay out. You may, but I don't. Amen? And so listen to me. I don't really believe that any of us have the right. We just choose to do so. Amen. We have to maintain. We have to do our part. We have to build a room for God to move. And I do believe what took place in this church Wednesday night, Brother David literally sat on the front row and he saw Jesus Christ himself sitting in this chair. Don't tell me that he wasn't. Shame on you if you've never seen Jesus that personally. I know what he looks like. I know what he smells like. I know what he tastes like. Amen. Because when you're intimate with him, I promise you that you'll know those things. Amen. I felt the brush of his robe. Amen. There's times in your life that it's dark, that he's the light of life, that you can't make it through without him. He was sitting in this chair Wednesday night. And I'm telling you, Brother David said, he said that this church would never go back to being what it's ever been. There was a mark left of revival. There's oil on the floor where he just poured it out because it should be there. I saw Jesus spinning in this church, dancing over people as they were laid out. And I saw his robe touching people. I saw angels' feathers touching people. And Brother Rafe came to me after the service, and he said, I saw the same thing. He said, I saw Jesus twirling around, and he said his robe filled the temple. Do you know anything about the robe that fills the temple? Let's just stitch together with victory after victory after victory. And he said every person that the robe touched, he said God was giving them victory over things in their life. I don't want to miss a moment with my God. Just like the woman, she constrained the man of God to come to her. That's the way that I feel right now in my life in this church. I don't want to miss a moment, Chris, because I want to constrain the presence of God in my life. I need the presence of God. Maybe personally, I may be facing some of the greatest attacks of my life. You know, things that a man and a woman that a parent never wants to go through, that when friends even talk about you, when you receive phone calls, you're like, what in the world? When maybe your personal life or your ministry or things are talked about from people that you admire and you don't really know what to do, and all these things come against, but that don't stop the presence of God. We have to get with God. Amen. So let me tell you, I know that people, you're facing a lot of things, but the most important thing we do is get with God. We got to be with God. Amen. And so this morning, we're just going to talk about that room that we're going to build for God. We got to maintain revival. I believe we may just be right here on 2 Kings 4 for a long time. There's a lot to look at. There's a lot to say. You still with me this morning? Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 4. I had a hard time preaching this morning. I tell you, it takes a lot out of you to preach two services. But I believe it's so imperative that we don't miss a moment. I feel this right now. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, it says this. One day, Elisha went on to Shunem. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. I hope you don't hate me for that. This woman was rich, an influential woman who lived, who insisted on his eating a meal afterward when he passed by. He stopped there for a meal. She said to her husband, behold now, I perceived that this is a holy man of God who passes by continually. Can I tell you, we have to honor God. If we want to receive the prophet's reward, then you have to honor the prophet. Amen. Don't talk about people of God. I've learned, you know, I hear people talk about TV preachers all the time. Well, I can tell you what, I've heard people talk about Joel Osteen. You can say what you want to say, but I'm not touching him, because there were days in my life when I was laid on the couch, and I thought, I laid on the couch and I turned TV on and Joel Osteen would be preaching. Now listen, I know that moment I wasn't born again. If I died, I'd have went to hell. But I can tell you what, I heard that man talking to me, and when I was getting hope, whenever I was laying there on that couch, I thought, well, if I die, I want to die on a couch. So listen, I'm careful about what I say about people. Amen. We better be careful. Amen. What we say about people. We don't have to agree with everything, but just be careful not to talk about people. Amen. Let us make a small chamber on the housetop and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. That's the maintenance of revival. You got to maintain when the man of God comes in. Then whenever he comes to us, he can go up the outside stairs and rest here. One day he came and turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi's servant, call this Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to Gehazi, say now to her, you have been most painstakingly and reverently concerned for us. What is to be done for you? What you like to be spoken for to the king or the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. They are sufficient. Can I tell you this morning that she didn't need anything from God? She was fine. She was content. Amen. Later, Elisha said, what then is it to be done for her? Gehazi answered, she has no child, and her husband is old. Hold on to this. He said, call her. Gehazi called her, and she stood in the doorway. Elisha said, at this season, when the time comes round, you shall embrace a son. She said, no, my Lord, you man of God, do not lie to your handmaid. Here's a statement that I made on Wednesday night. Now, just bear with me just a minute. In the Old Testament, the only way to access to God was through the prophet or the priest. So the only way to access the anointing in her life and in her home was to invite the prophet into her home. But listen to me, when you give access to the anointing, the access to the anointing unlocks the supernatural to move. The anointing of God, amen, unlocks the supernatural, amen? So we got to give access to the anointing so that the supernatural can take place in our life and in our church, amen? And so she gave access for the man of God. She gave access to the anointing. But the woman conceived and bore a son at that season the following year, as Elisha had said to her. When the child had grown, he went out one day to his father with the reapers. But he said to his father, my head, my head. The woman said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he was brought to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called to her husband and said, send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may go quickly to the man of God and come back again. And he said, why go to him today? It is neither new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it will be all right. Then she saddled the donkey, said to her servant, ride fast. Come on, somebody. Do not slacken your pace for me unless I tell you. So she set out, came to the man of God on Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her far off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run to meet her and say, is it well with you? Well with your husband, well with the child. She answered, it is well. She came to the mountain, the man of God. She clung to his feet. Gehazi came to thrust her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is bitter and vexed within her. The Lord has hid it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go lay my staff on the face of the child. If you meet any man, do not salute him. If he salutes you, do not answer him. The mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her. Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the child's face, but the boy neither spoke nor heard. So he went back to meet Elisha and said to him, the child is not awakened. When Elisha arrived in the house, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. So he went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. He went up and lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, eyes on his eyes, and hands on his hands. And he stretched himself on him and embraced him. The child's flesh became warm. Then he returned and walked into the house to and fro, went up again and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, then opened his eyes. Then Elisha called unto Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she came, he said, take up your son. She came and fell at his feet, bowing herself to the ground. Then she took up her son and went out. Would you pray with me?
Jesus, we just ask you, Lord God, to have your way. God, speak to us. Help me today, God. Let the anointing flow, God, today in this house, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we ask for supernatural strength, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to overcome me, Lord, right now, supernaturally, Lord.
Let me speak for you. Let me speak the will of God only today, God. Hide me in the shadow of the Almighty, Lord. Hide me in the authority and the power of the resurrection life of Jesus. Let a supernatural anointing fall today in this house, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So Wednesday night, I'm just going to pick up where I left off. I was preaching this message, and I got right to this place, and the Holy Ghost just broke out. And so I want to talk to you for a minute about the anointing of God. Amen? And this story is just so, so powerful. So not only do we make room for a move of God, but we need to make a room for God to move. Amen? And I believe that's where God has us at GFCC right now, is to make room for God to move. So here's this woman, this Shunammite woman, and she, the Bible says that she was rich and influential. Her husband owned fields and they had money. She didn't have any needs at all in her life. And so everything in her life was okay. It was well with her. But she knew the anointing. She knew the presence of God that was on this man of God. And so whenever this man would pass by, I could just hear this woman saying, I don't want to miss my moment with God. I don't want to miss one moment with God. And I pray that that would stir up in our hearts today, that we could begin to cry out, I don't want to miss one moment with God. And if God is moving in this house, then I don't want to miss one moment. I don't want to miss whenever God walks by, because let me tell you, seasons come and seasons go, and just as this season came in, it can go out just like that, and you may miss your moment to meet with God in a way that you've never known before. And this woman constrained him. She went to him because she perceived this man was a man of God, and so she went to him and she constrained him, and then she began to talk to her husband. I just perceive this man is a man of God. Let us build a room for him, and we're going to put in this room a table and a chair and a light and a bed. So this man, when he turns in, he'll have a bed to rest in. He'll have a table to fellowship in. He'll have a chair where he can sit on, and there'll be a lamp there, because it's going to get dark for this prophet, and there's going to be a place where the light can shine. And so we said the other night, the bed's a place of rest, and God wants to bring us to a place of supernatural rest, but it's also a place of deep intimacy where not everybody's allowed to come into that place. And there must be times of intimacy with you and Jesus where nobody else is allowed into those places but you or him. And he's just putting his seed on the inside of you, and things are being birthed on the inside of you because it's intimate and it's supernatural, and you're there. And we see this table here, and the table's a place of fellowship. A table's a place where you sit down and you have lunch or dinner with your family, and everybody's on the same page. And this is a place of fellowship, but also a place of divine visitation. And then you see this chair. If you look it up in the Hebrew, it actually means a throne. This is a place of authority. It holds something up. And can I tell you, either you're on the throne of your heart or Jesus is on the throne of your heart. And let me tell you, if you're on the throne of your heart, there's no authority in your life. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, ma'am. Only the authority of Jesus will hold you up through times when everything else falls down and falls away. But if Jesus sits on the throne of your heart, then I assure you, that lamp right there, everybody will see your life. I don't care how dark it is around you, the light of Christ will surely shine. Amen. You see, so this woman perceived he was a man of God. And then she began to tell her husband. He said, I think that we need to make room, and we need to set up everything in this house for this man of God to come. You see, she was making accommodations to host the anointing. GFCC, it's time that you and I would give accommodations to host the anointing. anointing of God. That tells me you got to maintain. When the anointing comes, it's not for you just to take it however you want to take it and treat it however you want to treat it. You better build it right, and you better maintain a move of God. Is anybody hearing me today? So this Shunammite woman, she said, we're going to make room for God to move. She didn't have any needs in her life. She was well taken care of. She said, it is well. And so the prophet's now in her house, and she said, and the prophet said, well, what can I do for you? She said, nothing. I live among my own people. I'm fine. It is well. And so I just see her probably walking back out. I don't need anything from him. I just wanted to host the presence of God. Amen. When's the last time you've just came to church and didn't want to ask God for anything? I just want to be in his presence. God, I'm not going to ask you to give me anything today. I'm not going to ask you to save anybody today. I'm going to turn my prayer into praise. Amen. I just want to be in your presence, God. Amen. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I just want to be with you, Jesus. What if we would just be with Jesus? I just want to be with you in your presence. And that woman, oh, there was a need. It was just buried. Can I tell you, you got needs. You may bury them. But I'm telling you, in his presence, the Holy Ghost is going to deal there. You see, there was needs in her heart. She had just buried it for so long, and she had lost hope in it. She had lost hope in the, and it was so deep down, she had lost hope in that. And so the prophet, I bet he's just stirred. And the Bible, he just thought, and he said, well, what can I do for him? What can I do for her? I believe he was even dumbfounded, because people want a prophet to tell, give me a word, right? I'm going to that church, that prophet said, I want a word. You ever been there? Why didn't they give me a word? And you pow. Because God wants to give you a word. So everybody wants a word. So this woman, she didn't need anything. She was fine. She was content. And so then the prophet said to Gehazi, hey, call that woman here. Because the Holy Ghost was dealing with him. Had to be. Now listen to me. He's the access to the anointing, correct? The man of God, the prophet, is the access to the anointing. She built room for him. So she gave access for the anointing to be released. And when the anointing is released, then it gives way for a supernatural seed to be released. And so here she comes. And I know that I've done this. Y'all have already seen this all week. But she just comes to the door. All right? You ever just been cleaning in one part of the house? And man, we wasn't cleaning, so it had to be the wives there say, hey, come here. But you're just busy doing your own thing, let's just say. And you just kind of stand in the doorway and you prop up. You know what I'm saying? You got something going on back here. But somebody calls you and you just kind of come stand in the door. See, you got one foot in and you got one foot out. You really don't know which way you want to go, because I want to get back here because I had to give up something to come listen to you. So the prophet called for the woman. And so the Bible says, read it for yourself, says she stood in the doorway. I don't know if y'all know, but the Bible says that Jesus is the door. And so many of us just stand in the doorway. We can't make up our mind which way we're going to go. And so the Bible says that she stood in the doorway. Well, the prophet is there, and he just speaks to her. He releases a supernatural seed in this woman. He says, about this time next year, you will give birth to a son. Because Gehazi said, I tell you what you can do. She's barren. She don't have a child, and her husband is old. And so I don't know about you, but my God, if there was a need in me and the prophet was in my house and now a seed is on the inside of me, it's going to yank me through the door. It's going to pull me right through the door. And now that supernatural seed is now on the inside of me, because the Bible says she conceived, but then she gave birth to what the seed was invested in her life. So not only did she conceive in that moment, let me tell you, don't reject the word of the Lord. Amen. Don't resist the seed of the supernatural. Amen. And so that doorway, listen to me, this doorway is a point of transition. Some of you need to transition from one room to the next. That doorway was a point of transition for the Shunammite woman. She had lived her life all these years just this way. But now there's a transition. There's a shift about to happen. I can no longer be here. Amen. Now the prophet done spoke. Amen. Now something done happened. Now a seed done went up on the inside of me, and I got a decision to make. I better get in here. I'm not only making room for a man of God, but I'm making room for a child of God. You see, you got to begin to make the proper preparations to host revival. Because whenever the prophet shows up, life is surely to come. Amen. So the anointing, the first thing the anointing did was broke the stigma of barrenness off this woman's life. If you say you came in this church this morning and your spiritual womb has been barren and you've not been producing any fruit, well, let me tell you, God sent me by this morning to tell you that the anointing will break the stigma of barrenness off of your life. You've not been able to produce. There's been no fruit that's followed your life. Well, let me tell you, just as when the prophet came to this woman and spoke, there was a supernatural seed that was released in her belly. Can I tell you that God is releasing a supernatural seed in this moment, in this house, in this hour, and in this season? I believe we're seeing barrenness broken. Amen. I believe we even saw that at Fallen Water Friday night. How in the world would me and Lee Ship hear the same thing other than the prophet was in the house? Amen. Broke barrenness off. Tasha, burden. I believe it with every fiber of my being. Lee, come over there to me. I'm down on the ground like this. And he come over there to me. He was intentional. He said, did you just speak something to her about birthing? I said, I sure did. And I went to tell him. He said, don't you dare tell me what you said. He said, I got to give this word. And he gave it to her. He said, no more barrenness. God's released me to preach. Put salt in the water at Fallen Water, and barrenness is about to break. The barrenness is about to break. I knew none of that, but that woman's husband looked over her and said, no more barrenness. I didn't know that she didn't have a uterus. I didn't know that they couldn't have another child. I didn't ever know that was a desire in their heart. But let me tell you, the Holy Ghost of God does. And when the anointing begins to move, the anointing begins to release the seed of the supernatural. And this morning, I'm telling you, and tonight in this house, if there's been places in your life that's been barren, I'm telling you, there's a word from heaven that said that the anointing will be released and it will break the stigma of barrenness off of your life. Just as the prophet spoke to the woman of Shunem, he's speaking to you now. The second thing the anointing does, the second thing, are you with me? The anointing does is it breaks through your brokenness. It broke through her brokenness. There was a lot of things. I was fighting hell in that first service that I need to just say in this service. There may be a reason. Maybe God's so intentional. God wants to break through some things this morning. Now listen to me. This is serious. And Sister Cindy, it may deal with you. And maybe some others. This isn't an attack on a personal level. I just got to give you what God said give you. Can I use you? I was going to use Carrie, but you're here and you've dealt with this personally. The anointing will break through brokenness. But you're not the only broken one here. There's a lot of broken people here. A lot of us want to bury the brokenness. We want to hide it. We don't want to talk about life and how life has broke me to pieces. We don't want to discuss that, do we? Because our pride kind of protects all of that. So the Bible says in verse 20, y'all still with me? I say this. I want y'all, I know that you are. I say that to overcome myself and the devil, okay? I'm not knocking anybody. Y'all just know when I say that, I'm not knocking you. I'm just encouraging myself in the Lord, and that's my way to do it. Maybe I need to find another word to say. I know you're with me, but I'm just helping me. I got to tell the devil. Y'all with me? Because I'm telling you, you don't ever know how you fight. That's what Marti just told me. She just stopped me. She said, Pastor, I promise you we're with you. I said, Marti, it's just for me. It's just for me. The devil will tell you, ain't nobody listening to you. They don't care. They don't care. I know you do. But I'm encouraging myself, okay, when I say these things. I need this in my life. You see, the anointing is supernatural, and it'll do for you what you can't do on your own. There's a grace with the anointing that you know that has nothing to do with you. There are things you'll say and things you'll do under the anointing that you can't do any other time. I can't preach this service two times back to back. I can't. I'm telling you. I'm almost fearful right now, just in this season, in these moments, Brother David, to miss God. But there's an anointing and grace, because the anointing is Jesus. He's the smeared one. He is the anointed one. And so if there's anything on my life that would be anointing, it's him. If there's anything on this woman of the anointing, that is because she gave access to it. She built a room and gave access for the anointing to move. And now the anointing put a seed in her. And now this boy, the Bible says, he went out to work with his dad at harvest time. And now he dies. I love who the Bible uses in this story. It said a lad, a little lad, brought her son to her. 12 years old. I'm going to use you, Elijah. Since I'm going to use your mama. This is the 12-year-old. Come here. You're going to be the lad in the story. I want you to take that and put that in your mama's arms. Hold it like a baby. It's got a little weight to it, don't it? Dead weight. Hold it. It's a 12-year-old boy. It's about to be noontime, and he's about to take his last breath. He hadn't yet, but you know you're fighting your mind. Oh, I love what Sister Stacy said. He said, my head, my head. Don't you know she's sitting there holding that baby saying, my head, my head. Just hold it. Here's what happened. See, she had already told him. Check this out. She said in verse 16, no, my Lord, you man of God, do not lie to your handmaid. Don't you dare tell me that I'm going to give birth and I'm not. You hear me? God ever spoke something to you and you're like, don't you dare play with my heart, God. Come on, let's just be real. You ever talk to God that way, or are you just little, oh, I'm sorry, God. No, you don't. No, you don't. Life is tough. There's times we get mad at God. There's times that God speaks, don't you dare play with my heart, God. Don't you dare fool me. I'm scared to death when that prophetic anointing comes on you. Oh, God. The devil tormented me when I spoke those things to Michaela and Marcus the other day. Because things started looking like they were getting worse yesterday instead of better. Isn't that what happens a lot of times? Yeah. But I've made the proper preparation for a resurrection.
Amen.
But now, don't you lie to me. Don't you dare lie to me, you man of God. Don't you play with my heartstrings. Do you know how long I've wanted a baby? Don't you know I buried that and put that behind me? Come on. And now you come up in my house after I build you a room and you're going to talk to me that I'm going to have a child. How? Right. My husband's old and I can't. Well, she did. And now that boy's 12. He's going to help daddy. What if it was his first day going to work? Happy. Just like a devil. Isn't that just like a devil? Remember when David Owens was here?
That's what he said.
Isn't it just like a devil to say, my head, my head? Listen to this, verse 20. Well, let me just back up. Verse 18, when the child had grown, he went out one day to his father with the reapers, but he said to his father with the reapers, But he said to his father, "My head, my head." The man said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." That's what Elijah did, carried the boy to his mother. I love this. The Shunammite don't have a name. That lad didn't have a name. But God, a lot of us are waiting to God give me a name. Let me tell you what I found is the people that don't have a name, the anointing of God flows in them and through them like no other. You don't have to have a name. You don't need a platform. You don't need a microphone. All you need is an anointing from heaven to come down on that life. That Shunammite, she don't even have a name. That little boy that brought that baby don't even have a name. Oh, but the anointing of God. We get a name a lot of times in. Come on, somebody. But he said to his father, "My head, my head." The man said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." And when he was brought to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. My God. Imagine. Hold that baby. 12-year-old. The promise of God. The supernatural seed of God. I didn't ask for him. No, no, no. I didn't ask for that baby. He's 12 now. 12 years of life. And now he's going to die. And I already told the man of God, "Don't you dare lie to me." And now that little boy's going to die in my arms after 12 years of life. Now he's going to die. I'm going to hold him in my arms till lunchtime and he's going to die. I heard God say this to me this morning. Listen to me, church. Stay with me. Don't you dare bury your supernatural seed. Don't you dare bury your supernatural seed. I told the church this morning, I never asked to be a Christian. Amen. I just wanted to get out of jail and get high again, Chris. I'm telling you. I didn't want to get saved. I didn't. I wasn't looking for Jesus when I was there. But I was in a doorway, and they said, "Jenkins!" I was in a doorway, and God talked. I was walking to and fro, but God sent a man. God sent a prophet. I wasn't looking for him. I was just wanted to get out so I could go to the rodeo dance. I ain't even lying to y'all. I was cussing my mom and daddy out on the phone. I told them I hated their guts. I told them I didn't want to talk to them again because they didn't love me. No, they did love me. That's why they kept me in there. They didn't want to talk to me. I'm telling you, I can't believe I'd ever treat them that way, the way that I did. I wasn't looking for God. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask to be a pastor. I didn't ask for this. You didn't ask for a lot of things in your life either, but it came to you. Supernatural seed was released, and it pulled you through the doorway of transition. And so some things had to change. And so God told me, "Don't you dare bury your supernatural seed." I done it. And if God gives you a seed in the supernatural, it's not for you. If God gives us something, Brother Lewis, in a supernatural, then it's not for me to care for. It's up to him to take care of it. This is God's church. If we're going to build that church next door, then it'll be God that does it. I won't be able to do it. Brother David won't be able to do it. You won't be able to do it. That's God's church. He didn't. I'm telling you, he's the one that told us to build it. It didn't come in my mind. I'm content right here. But I'm telling you, God said do it. And he said when you build it, you won't build it for men. He said you'll build it for me. He said it's going to be an ark. It's going to be a shelter. People's going to run to that place in the times of the end of the days. Let me tell you something this morning. It's up to God. If it's his seed, it's a supernatural seed. It's up to God to take care of that seed. Don't you dare bury your seed in the supernatural. Don't do it. He broke through her brokenness. Her 12-year-old son died in her arms. Now listen to me. The anointing will do what you can't do. And not only will the anointing release and break a stigma of barrenness, but it'll give you strength to walk in the supernatural. Here's what the Bible says. I didn't say this in the first service. I got to say it now. There's times that the anointing can be on you, but you not be walking in it. God told me this morning, you got to activate your anointing. You got to activate your anointing. You know that you're called by God. You got to activate it. Here's this woman. She had a moment in life. What am I going to do? Am I going to bury or am I going to carry? She had a moment and she had to activate the anointing of the supernatural. This is God's seed. It's not mine. So am I going to bury him right here? Because in those times, you didn't have a funeral 3 days later. You did it right then, sister. And you just bury that child right there and you go on about your life. But in a moment in time, there was an anointing that she had invited into her life. There was an anointing that she gave access to. That anointing wasn't only there, but now it had to be on her. It was a supernatural working of the grace of God through the anointing of God. She's holding the supernatural seed that the prophet said she would have, and now he's dead. She had a moment. Are you going to bury it or are you going to carry it? The Bible says she picked that baby up and she put it on the bed of the man of God. I want you to come. She laid him on the bed of the man of God, and I heard the Holy Ghost say to me the other night, Mom and Daddy, that's what some of us need to do. We need to take our children. We need to take our babies. We need to take them that God gave us in a seed of the supernatural. And we need to lay it on the altar. We need to lay it on the bed of the man of God. And it's not up to us. It's not up to us to fix. You got to quit trying to control the circumstance and the situation and put it back in the place that you made for God and let God do the work. It's God's seed. It's not mine. It's God's church. I don't run in the office and ask Sister Carrie after service, what was offerings today? We got to build that new church. It's God's. I ain't worried about it. I hadn't been for 9 years. We came to this church. I didn't ask them what I was going to get paid. God told me to come. I didn't want to come. I didn't ask for this. There's a lot of things in your life you didn't ask for either. But God did it. You become impregnated with it and you can't get rid of it. And you wonder how it's going to happen. It's up to God. Now listen to me. Supernaturally, only supernaturally, you have to activate the anointing. I wish Brother Russell was still here because I heard God say, worship team at Fallen Water, you're going to have to activate the anointing. You're anointed of God, but you got to activate that. You see, she had a moment. I'm holding this baby. Now I got a decision to make right now. See, some of us are just waiting too long, and some of us are carrying our dead child around. I don't want to bury him, but I surely don't want to lay him down. So that's what we do. That's how we live our Christian life. We come in. God said, I want it. You're like, no, it's mine. No, it's not. It's God's. You didn't have nothing to do with that. You said you were fine. You didn't need anything. You said it is well with me. But now God gives you something, and now you want to control it. Come on, somebody. Now you want to put matters in your own hand, but you didn't want nothing to do with it before. We control it, and we walk around. But I want them saved. No, you don't, because you won't let God do it. No, you don't. You won't let God have it. Now stay, are y'all still with me this morning?
Amen.
God sent me here to help somebody this morning. So here's what we do. We come to church with it, and we go home with it. And we come back to church with it, and here's what we'll have. Moments, we'll lay it here. But guess what? And I'll pray, and I'll lay it there. But before I go back to my seat, I just like this dead weight. I just like this dead weight because I deserve it. It's my fault. I deserve it. 12 years, I messed up. I deserve it. It's my fault. No, it ain't. It's got nothing to do with you. You didn't ask for this child. God gave it to you. God supernaturally gave it to you. You gave access, and guess what you do? Now you cause yourself, boy, that thing that she, don't you lie to me, you man of God. Don't you lie to me. Don't you lie to me. It opens the door for my next point, just a minute, bitterness. There's so many people so bitter with God because of the way their life is right now. It's not God's fault. God's trying to free you from it, but here's you. Just carrying dead weight. That dead baby, you know you can't even stand looking at it. I can't believe this is happening to me. Why did God do this to me? Why? I made that room for God. I talked my husband into building. We invested a lot of money. We do this for God. We do that for God. And God said, would you just lay it down? She's like, nope. Nope. But here's what the woman of God did. She activated the anointing. And she chose to carry instead of bury. See, some of you's burying instead of carrying. So in that moment, I got a decision to make at lunchtime. Am I going to keep carrying this dead child? Or am I going to lay him on the bed of the man of God? Imagine what must have went through her mind as she walks back to the room that she built for the man of God. Imagine what she was facing when that bed of the man of God that they built for that man. Imagine what she's facing. I built this room for that man. Now my baby's dead. Now my baby's dead. Will you lay it on the bed of the man of God? Can I tell you what the Bible says she did? She laid it down on the bed of the man of God. She laid it there. Now listen what she did next. Come here. The Bible says she left the room and she shut the door.
Amen.
Will you go around that side? She shut the door. She trusted God with it. She trusted God with the seed. Because it's God's anyway. And here's what a lot of us do. Was we shut the door, but we stay in the room. Come on, God, let me help you. No, you got to do it this way. Hold on, you're not doing it right, God. Let me help you do it this way. And we control God's hands at how God's going to do it. I'm tired of people intentionally and unintentionally trying to tell God how to do something. Pass through this church. Well, I'd pastor the church that way. Well, I'd do this if I was the pastor. I'd do it this way. And we just... accusations we just start throwing out, trying to help raise something from the dead. We're controlling the matters. When are we going to give up our control to the seed of the supernatural that only came through God? It's not you to control. It's up to God. And so the Bible teaches us a very serious lesson about the Shunammite woman. She laid it down on the bed of the man of God. She went out of the room and she shut the door. Not to come back in. We're going to look in a minute. That woman never went back till God came. Some of you.
Come on. Come on.
That's awesome, man.
I wanted to help your brother.
It is.
I know it's late, y'all. My God. I want to just give you a few things God told me. She had to activate her anointing. Listen, this word activate means to make something active or operative. Some of you anointing it active or operating because you've not activated it. You've buried it. There's no way that woman could take that dead baby without supernatural anointing and grace saying, take that little boy to the bed chamber. Take that boy to the bed chamber. Take that baby there. That's the most intimate place. Oh, that's where God's going to come. That's where God's going to come. How many of us are just fussing and fighting over everything? We need to go to the intimate place with God. Go to the bed chamber and say, God, hide me under the shadow of the Almighty. God, talk to me. Listen to this. I heard God say to me, some things aren't for us to fix.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
Some things aren't for us to fix. Just let it go. You say, well, I can't. Then you don't want to. If God helped a Shunammite woman that don't even have a name, that didn't even have the Holy Ghost, that didn't even have the blood to be able to just lay that boy down, then who are you and I? She had given access. Listen to this. God is going to help fix what we've tried to fix long enough. Her 12-year-old son died in her arms. The anointing will do what you can't do and release a supernatural strength to you and through you. Listen to this. I speak this over this house. That place of preparation is about to produce a resurrection. I said, her place of preparation is about to produce a resurrection. The very place she had already prepared, the man had a bed there, and she knew right where to go to. I can tell you, she could have chose to bury her anointing, or she should have carried the promised seed that God gave her. Amen. Some things aren't for you and I to fix. Let God fix them. It's time for us. Listen, God gave me 5 things. You need to pick the burden up, and you need to lay it down. You need to leave it, and you need to leave the room. And then when you leave the room, shut the door on it, and then get to God. Get to God. Get to God. I'm going to say that again. You got to pick it up, and you got to lay it down. You got to leave it, and you got to leave the room, and you got to shut the door on it. Some of you need to slam the door right now, because just a little sissy slam ain't going to do it. You need to slam the door in the devil's face and say, I'll be back whenever God shows up. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Shut the door on it and then go to God. I love this. My God. The anointing of God will cause you to run to Him. I said the anointing of God will cause you to run to Him. Despite what you're facing or despite what you're feeling, the anointing of God will cause you to run to Him. Here's what the Bible says. I love this. She laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. She ain't going back in. She ain't going back in. Brother Chris said, when I was preaching this the first service, he said, I saw her lock the door.
Amen.
Throw away the keys.
Yeah.
I ain't getting back in there till God comes.
Amen.
I ain't getting back in there till God comes. Some of us need to shut the door, and don't you dare go back and visit that room until God comes. God's on the way. But let me tell you, she activated the anointing. She didn't bury her anointing, but she carried her anointing. Verse 22, and she called to her husband and said, send me one of thy servants and one of the donkeys that I may go quickly to the man of God and come back again. Oh, can I tell you, she had her mind made up. I'm going to lay that burden down. I'm going to leave the room, and I'm going to slam the door. And as fast as I can get to God, you better believe I'm going to get to God. I'm going to run to Him. And a matter of fact, she went on and she said, I'm not stopping for anything. She made haste. Here's what the Bible says. Even her husband tried to cause her a little disruption. But verse 24, she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, ride fast. Do not slacken your pace for me unless I tell you. She was determined. Her mind was made up. Can I tell you, I see an anointing upon the Shunammite woman. I desire that anointing in my life. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm feeling, let me run to God. Here's the way a lot of us run to God. We're tired. burdens to God. How about lay your burdens down and let God come to them? Sister Stacy said, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Old Peter knew about casting something. The third thing I want to give you quickly is the anointing broke her out of her bitterness. There's some bitter people in this house this morning. Check this out. She ran to the man of God because she was intentional. Listen to this. When she came to the mountain, the man of God, she clung to his feet. Gehazi came to thrust her away, but the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is bitter and vexed within her, and the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me. Now you think about that root that was in her whenever she looked at the man of God and said, don't you lie to me. Don't you lie to me. 12 years later, that boy dies. Do you know the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years? Do you know Jairus' daughter, 12 years? Do you know God starts working the inward parts of a male and a female to start reproducing at 12 years? Huh? Do you know that the woman with the issue of blood, as long as she was losing blood, she couldn't reproduce? Can I tell you the enemy is after our ability to reproduce? Amen. I'm Taraba Kanda Rabasura Manama Sanda. But can I tell you, just like God healed this woman's son, just like Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood, and just like Jesus showed up to Jairus' house, they may have been playing funeral music, but when Jesus showed up, he kicked them out of the way and he went in there to Jairus' daughter and he laid his hands on the 12-year-old little girl. I'm telling you this morning, church, the world may have called us barren, but I came to prophesy in this house, just as the woman was healed, Jairus' daughter was healed, and this little boy was healed, the healing of God is in this house. We will reproduce. We will. You can't reproduce with bitterness. You'll produce after your own kind. You got bitter fruits, bitter roots, you'll produce bitter fruit. Your children will be bitter. Your grandchildren will be bitter. Everybody will be bitter. Come to the bitter waters of Mara. They didn't want that. They spit it out. I preached in this house 3 weeks ago about the source of water in Jericho. It was bad. The water was bad and the land was barren. God wants to heal the waters. This man of God said, her soul is bitter and vexed within her. The Lord has hid it. Listen to what she said. Verse 28. Come on, somebody get real with me right here. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? There's that root of what she said to him 12 years prior. 12 years later. You see, the Holy Ghost has a way of showing us what's in us. Huh?
Amen.
Some of us have had things buried for 12 years. I wonder if she held that boy 12 years and thought any day now something bad's going to happen. Because that's what bitter roots do. They just wait on that bitter root to spring up and it defiles everybody. You see, the Holy Ghost has a way of revealing what's on the inside of our heart, Sister Tanya. You see, the very thing she spoke to the man of God, you better not lie to me. You better not deceive me. 12 years later, she finds him on Mount Carmel. That's about a 17-mile trek. I'm telling you, she was getting with it. That wasn't just a little hip, scop, and a jump. It was 17 miles through the terrain. That woman got to him. She was sweaty, she was hot, and when she got there, she lit off of that donkey and she went to the man of God. She grabbed his feet and she said, why did you lie to me?
Amen.
Why? God was revealing that root of bitterness that was there for 12 years. See what's there? Could it be God allowed all of this to heal that?
Amen.
Could it be? Could it be everything we're walking through right now? God said, I'm showing you what's in you.
Amen.
It's isn't about him. I got him. But do I have your heart?
Yes. That's right.
Do I have you? Because there's a root of bitterness. There's something deep in you that I want out. He healed her bitterness. God wants to heal ours tonight. The anointing of God is going to break through your bitterness. Listen to what he said. She said, I'm not leaving you. Gehazi passed on. The mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and my soul lives, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her. Can I tell you, the anointing was on her. She looked at Elisha and he followed her. She didn't follow him. I'm telling you, her mind was made up. Can I tell you this morning that God wants to break in and break through our bitterness, through our bitter hearts? God has a way of allowing things in our life to reveal to us what's there. The fourth thing I want to give you very quickly, I don't know who's playing this morning. Y'all know who's playing? Brother Lewis. The anointing will break through barriers of religion. I said the anointing will break through barriers of religion. Verse 23, I love this. And he said, this is her husband. Why go to him today? Questioning her worship. Questioning her anointing. I love this. Questioning her authority. Why go to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it's all right. The King James says, she said, it is well. What did Job's wife say to him? Just curse God and die. Now the Shunammite's husband is saying, why are you going to God today? It's not the ritual. It's not the Sabbath or the new moon. It's not the date or the time. Oh, but you don't even know. You don't even know what's in my life. You don't even understand. You don't even understand what I've been carrying. You don't even understand what I just laid down. And you know what? She couldn't talk to him about it either. She just said it as well. You know, you can't talk to everybody about supernatural things. If her husband would have found out that boy was dead, he'd have probably said, well, where's the funeral home? Let's plan a funeral. But she said, I better not speak to that boy's dead. I'm getting to God. I'm getting to God. And you'll never understand why I'm going to God today. But you don't know what's in that room. You don't know what's in that room. So I'm not worried if it's the Sabbath when everybody else is waiting on. I can't wait another moment. That boy's dead. That boy's dead. I'm not waiting on the new moon. That boy's dead. Can I tell you, some of you have needs in your life, and you better not wait on religion to get you anywhere. You better not wait on anybody else. You better, God told me this week when I read this, he said, you better not worry about what the church up the road is doing. He said, you better not worry about the way they do it. I don't care how full that house is. He said, you better not look to that. He said, you better look to me. He said, you better look to me. I had my eyes looking at the wrong thing, thinking, well, let's do it this way and maybe we'll grow bigger. Brother, I'm telling you, only that man of God went where that boy was. The anointing breaks past religious rhetoric and it breaks in to the presence of God. She grabbed a hold of his foot and she said, I'm not letting you go. No, no. You coming back to the place that I made for you to begin with. When you gonna fall back in love with your first love? When you're going to ask Jesus back to the place that you built for him a long time ago. Some of you forgot the bedchamber. It's been a long time since you smelled Jesus. It's been a long time since you held Jesus and let him hold you. That woman said, no way, no way. You're not leaving me. The Holy Ghost broke through that religion. And in closing this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the atonement of Jesus. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. The Bible said when the man of God got there, can I tell you, this is for another day, but the middleman don't work. You making bargains with God and sending Gehazi? I know he's a man of God, but you trying to take the middle road? It don't work. The avenue some of you's taking right now, it's a dead end road. Because when Gehazi got there, no life came. There's only one way that gives life. That's Jesus. And that's his blood. So the Bible said when the prophet got there, said he went in to the dead boy. He stretched himself out. You know who else was stretched out? Jesus. He stretched himself out on the cross of Calvary. Poof. The hill we run to now is not Carmel, it's Calvary. Yeah. Jesus will come to you. He'll come to your dead promises. He'll come to your dead sons, your dead daughters, our dead marriages, our dead churches. And he'll stretch himself out. Yeah. The Bible said the prophet stretched himself out on the boy. He got eye to eye, nose to nose, mouth to mouth. Got face to face, brother, with that dead life. Jesus isn't afraid of your death. Jesus isn't afraid of your sin. That word stretch means to measure up. It means that if I'm anointed and you're dead, when I stretch myself out on you, you have to measure up to what's in me. I don't come where you are. With the authority of the Almighty, you come where I am. And when Jesus lays his life on me, I don't stay there. But I measure up to him now. I measure up to Jesus unto the stature of him. I don't know about you, but I'll never forget the day Jesus got eye to eye, nose to nose, mouth to mouth with me. I was dead. My trespasses and sins. And there's been a measuring up ever since. Oh, just give me Jesus. Lord, I fell. I'm dead. Oh, but Jesus comes. He lays himself on me. And I have to measure up, Sister Ann, to his anointing. I don't stay dead. He did it the first time, and the Bible says that the boy's body became warm. Can I tell you, a lot of us stop at lukewarmness. But the prophet wasn't done there. Many of us have stopped because I'm not cold anymore, but I'm not hot either. The Bible said his body just became warm, but the man of God said, oh, there's more to come. I just heard God say to me this morning, there's more to come. We're warm right now, GFCC. But the prophet, the Bible says, he began to walk to and fro in that room. And then he went again. He stretched himself out over that boy. The Bible says the boy sneezed 7 times. And if you sneeze, then that means that pressure and air comes out of you. The pneuma of God, the breath of God, what the man of God invested in him is now coming out of him. I love this. I know it's late. Then Elisha called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she came, he said, take up your son. Come here, Cindy. Here's what I want you to do, though. I want you to step outside that door, because you've been gone. But now God came. She stayed gone until God came. Now God calls for her. Now, Cindy, Shunammite, come on. Whew. And fell at his feet, bowing herself to the ground. That bitter root was gone. 12-year bitterness was gone. God healed. God healed that Shunammite woman. Oh God. You got to get back to prayer meeting tonight. Because it's just getting good. There's the rest of the story. Ooh, there's more to the story. If you only knew the plan of God. Can I tell you what I have found in life? A lot of times the purpose of God is in the process. It's not in the ending. It's in the process of the purpose. Then she took up her son and she went out. Today, God wants to help. Don't let your pride sit there and resist and reject. I know God has talked this today. I know he has. I struggled in the first service. Fought hell. God said it what he wanted to say, but I'm telling you, something's different here right now. Something's different about this service. God is talking to somebody. And he's serious with somebody. So serious. You've been carrying burdens around. You've been bitterness, roots of it. I would not miss my moment as he's passing by. I would not miss it. Sister Christian came and brought pictures of her children and laid them on the bed of the man of God this morning, and she left them. They're still here. Maybe you have things you need to bring today and you need to leave and you need to slam the door on it and let it be. Don't you come back and visit it until God comes. Don't you dare come back until God comes. But when God comes, be prepared to receive your resurrection. Jesus, would you stand with me this morning?